Denny Hamlin wins at Nashville Super Speedway, while a lot of other teams can't catch a break. These are our top stories here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
From the Performance Racing Network studios at Charlotte Motor Speedway, I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and David Stiles. And over the next hour, we'll be breaking down a lot of what happened at Nashville Super Speedway. I can tell you what happened. It was another win by Denny Hamlin, who had to start in the back after jumping the start. As a matter of fact, let's hear how that part sounded.
Denny Hamlin gets a mega jump before the green flag even came out. We're going to have to see what goes on with this as he yards him into turn one.
That was a monster jump for Denny Hamlin. In fact, he has cleared the field already by about six or seven car lengths.
The 11 posted start violation. Denny Hamlin from the pole has a start violation, and he will have to bring that car onto pit road 45 miles per hour to do a pass-through penalty as they head down the back straightaway.
Well, good call there by Brad Gilley and Nick Yeoman catching it, and Denny wasn't even in Michael Jordan's Jumpman car. So he jumps the start. He has to go all the way to the back, but throughout the race, he fights his way back up to the front. Here's how it sounded on PRN.
The three teammates are three wide into turn number one. Hamlin got a little sideways. Bell slides up the racetrack. Briscoe gets out of the throttle, and it's Denny Hamlin with the race lead.
Denny Hamlin halfway down the backstretch here, perhaps for the last time tonight. Hamlin leads Bell. Bell's right on his corner. Here comes Bell to the outside. Bell's going to try to challenge from the rear.
It's the last opportunity for Christopher Bell. He'll try and cross over Denny Hamlin. He will not be able to do it. Christopher Bell will be denied as Denny Hamlin will win the Cracker Barrel 400, and we have a big wreck on the front stretch after the checkered flag.
So Denny Hamlin wins it. Nashville gets him a shiny new guitar to hang on the wall. Way to go, Denny. Second win of the year, 62nd in his career. And after it was all over, Wendy Venturini caught up with him.
You've had so many emotional wins lately. How special is this one at Nashville this evening?
It's just unexpected. We've had the best car so many times this year and haven't won. Definitely did not have the best car today. The 20 had the class of the field, and we were just kind of hanging around the top five in speed. But, man, it feels good to win one that you didn't think you were going to win.
So, Alexis Erickson, is this an example of Denny Hamlin just doing Denny Hamlin things, or is this something extraordinary?
I think it shows us that Denny Hamlin at 45 years old could possibly be at the top of his game. I mean, we talk so much about drivers getting to a certain age and just having fall off. He has not had any fall off. He is performing at an unbelievable pace, in my opinion. He is very savvy when it comes to being a veteran and knowing how these races come down at the end and how to get things done. I mean, it's interesting when he had that penalty, he made no remark on the radio. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't freak out. He went to the back and methodically worked his way back up to the front. Clearly, we saw his post-race interview on television where they asked him about jumping the start. He said, oh, yeah, I definitely jumped it. It was clear as day. It took no exception to that. But he was able to get it done. I mean, he knows how to win these races, even when, in his own words, he doesn't have the best car.
I mean, just how on brand is this for Denny Hamlin? Because it's, oh, we'll have a pit road speeding penalty. We have to go to the back, and then he drives to the front. We jump the restart on the first lap of the race, drives his way back up to the front. And then in that interview with Wendy Venturini, she asked him, what was your strategy when you got into that last corner? And he gave a very honest answer. And he said, in my earlier days, I probably would have overcooked that corner and drove it in there extremely hard, and then gave Christopher Bell an opportunity to win the race. And he said, I just looked at the bottom and said, well, I'm just going to drive it here on the bottom. And he ended up winning the race that way. It's just, he has a ton of experience doing this, and I think it's starting to add up, and he's probably the class of the field right now.
And in those final laps too, when you're racing your other two teammates, he's racing Christopher Bell, he's racing Chase Briscoe, three JGR cars. cooler heads probably prevailed in that, you know, in his earlier years, perhaps it would have happened that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in fourth would have ended up being the winner because they would have all gone barreling into the corner and none of them made it out alive. But all three of them were able to come home with good finishes. Denny Hamlin, obviously the veteran driver, getting the win, but still giving Joe Gibbs Racing a 1-2-3 finish, which I think is huge because, you know, it very easily could have gone a different way with the three of them driving as hard as they were on that last lap.
I mean, they've been, JGR has been really good at Nashville. Going into this race, they had led 727 laps, no wins.
I was going to say, which is so crazy when you find out that that's the first time Toyota has ever won at, you know, at that facility. So it's incredible.
Well, Toyota ruled the day.
They did.
At Nashville. And right now, they seem to be ruling the series, to
yes.
be honest. I just feel like week in and week out, you have to beat them. By the way, 12 cautions, 76 laps. And it just occurred to me a moment ago that this was a lot like the finish of the Coca-Cola 600 that we had Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, David, racing at the very end. Now, at the 600, they wound up racing for second, but in theory, they were racing to see who would pass Daniel Suarez in Charlotte. So these two cars are populating the front.
Both of them are, you know, having good years. Denny Hamlin has the wins. Christopher Bell just seems to be in that unlucky stage right now, and he just can't get out of his own way. And I feel bad for him. And he was on Prime afterwards, almost dejected. And he said, I had the best car. I did not capitalize. And his bad year just continues. And he's still, you know, in the top 16 in points. But if he has a few more of these, this could just be crushing for their advancement this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's feeling the frustration because Toyota is the class of the field. They have been on multiple weekends, multiple occasions, and he's had fast cars and he hasn't been able to produce the wins. You know, you have Denny Hamlin who has multiple wins. You have Ty Gibbs, his teammate, who has a win in a Toyota. He has not been able to, you know, cross that threshold and get to victory lane. And I think that is really frustrating him. But if he continues to run, I mean, you mentioned it, he was up front 600. He was obviously the class of the field, the best car yesterday, even though he didn't get the win. He's going to get to victory lane sometime soon. I think he's just frustrated that it's taking him this long to make that happen.
Well, and then the other car that we're kind of leaving out is the one of this top three. It's Chase Briscoe, who's had an up and down season as well. He's had some really good runs here as of late, was good at the 600, got crashed out, had a good run at Bristol on that concrete surface, and was in the mix here at Nashville in the late stages of this race. So these JGR cars have really got it figured out, and Ty Gibbs has been pretty solid all year, too, and he has a victory.
I think where we are with Briscoe is he has too many bad finishes. He'll have a race like he did at Nashville, then it'll turn around the next week and finish 29th or 30th, and that's why he's not getting the love maybe that team deserves. They can do away with those, and we're running out of races, believe it or not. We're over halfway through the regular season. You don't have any more races where you can run in the 30s. Denny Hamlin, we'll talk more about this in the show, to me feels like he is as good as he's ever been. And there have been seasons where Denny's won a lot of races. And right now I feel like he's right there. When you can overcome the mistakes that he's having right now and still win and lopped off a lot of points from Reddick's lead, cut it 25 points, guys. That's a lot.
I mean, he could catch him. I fully believe that. In the next couple of races, if he continues to run well, he can catch Tyler Reddick and maybe take over the points lead and win the regular season championship. I know Tyler Reddick has cooled ever so slightly, but he's still really, really good. And so this is really just a two-car battle at the top of the points lead, I think, right now between these two Toyotas.
Well, I was going to save this discussion point, but we'll hit it now. Alexis, we talked before we went on the air. In favor of Tyler Reddick, there are road courses left to run. He is better. He's probably only second to SVG on road courses. That's not Denny's strong suit. He can get top tens, but he's probably not going to San Diego or Sonoma and coming away with a W.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot more intermediates left too, and that is Denny Hamlin's bread and butter. So you've got Reddick, who's looking like he's probably going to gain a boatload of points, you know, minus some crazy things happening failures or something like that at the road courses. He is very good there, and he most likely will make the most of those experiences. But you've got Michigan coming up next. You have Pocono, which Denny Hamlin is so, so good at. You have so many racetracks where he can be a threat week in and week out. And then you think about, okay, well, that's the regular season. Wait till we get to the postseason. I think there are like five intermediate tracks in the postseason alone. I know every year we fall into what seems like a little bit of a trap. This is Denny Hamlin's year. This is Denny Hamlin's year. But my goodness, this feels like Denny Hamlin's year.
It does. I don't want to go there in my mind, but it's hard to argue with the results we're getting. Now, let's don't discount Reddick. The guy's won five races.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you got it right, David. He's cooled down just a tiny bit.
He's still running in the top five everywhere.
But every week. But he's, you know, I get it was unsustainable what they did right out of the box.
Absolutely.
There was no way they were going to keep winning every other week, but they're still pretty good. Time now for our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Toyotas took the top three spots, all of them, from Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny Hamlin was first at Nashville. Christopher Bell second. Third went to Chase Briscoe. A sixth-place finish for Tyler Reddick. Right there he is, hanging out in the top 10. Eric Jones with another nice run for Legacy Motor Club was 11th. 13th was Ty Gibbs. Riley Herbst was 17th. John Hunter Nemechek was 24th. 25th was going to be Corey Heim, who probably deserved a better fate. And Bubba Wallace, who had problems and crashed out, finished 32nd. That is our Toyota Performance Report. Back with more Fast Talk in a moment.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
It has fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Super Speedway did not disappoint. Dramatic finish. Denny Hamlin winning. He wins one more, and he moved past Kyle Busch in the 10th place on the all-time wins list. That's hard to believe.
Just unfathomable just how good both of those guys were together as teammates. Yep. And to know that Denny will eventually pass him, it's still just kind of hard to fathom just how good both of them were together at JGR.
And Alexis Denny shows no signs of slowing down.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned that and I'm thinking, well, you know, was it not that long ago where we're like, well, he just wants to get to 60. He just wants to get to 60. And now here he is, you know, past that. And the sky's kind of the limit as far as I'm concerned, because, again, you know, 45 years old and just at the top of his game. And I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. There's no talk of retirement. There's no talk of any of that. And he is more determined, I think, than I have ever seen him. And that's got to be scary for the rest of the field.
And he looks better. When he gets out of the car, he got out of that car at Nashville at 1 o'clock in the morning or something. It was stupid late. It was Monday morning when he got out of the car. I'll just leave it at that. He looked pretty fresh. It used to be 10 years ago, you got him out of a car after a race, and it looks like you poured him out. I think he's in better shape, and everything about this is bad news for the comp.
I agree. Now I think it's just a question of what's the final number that he's going to get to. I mean, will he crack 70? Is it possible? How many years will he hang around? And then he's doing all of this with 2311, and he'll move into that after his racing career is over. He's got a lot on his plate, but he seems to be able to handle it well, and he's just got a lot going on in his personal life, too, and it's just he's going to the racetrack, and I think losing himself in the competition, and I think you guys are right. He's the best he's ever been right now.
Denny Hamlin must love a buffet because he has always got a lot on his plate,
and I think
that there's no signs that that is slowing down anytime soon. I think the more stuff you put on Denny Hamlin's plate, the better he is for it. So,
well, I can't back up. I've said it on this show that the guy's got too much going on. You know, he's a car owner. He's a car driver. He hosts a podcast. He's a dad, a new dad. He's a husband. He's got lots of things in his life. And for most people, they would crumble with two of those. And he's not just surviving. He's thriving. He's pulling the grade point average down for everybody or something like that. He's messing up the curve.
In the bell curve.
And then on top of this, like I saw something the other day, he started the new hobby of fishing. So he went and bought a boat. And so now he's doing that. That's one more thing to add to the list. Is there a point where we go, is there anything this guy can't do?
Are there enough hours in the day for all of these things? For most people, the answer is no. For Denny Hamlin, seems to be.
I wonder what his sleep schedule is. That's the next question.
It can't be very aggressive because what is remarkable to me, he can do one of these races, and then by midday Monday afternoon, an hour-long podcast has been posted, and it's coherent, and it's put together.
Yeah, with great information. Yeah.
I watch his stuff, Action's Detrimental, because of what he talks about, what's going on the racetrack and how the cars reacted. I'm sure he'll have a good story, and we'll talk about this later, about the brake rotors. He is defying the odds at 45, being a title contender, winning races, doing all these other things. Keep doing it as long as you can, Denny. I think it's a great story.
Do you think that he's in this state now because he kind of sees the end of his career coming, and so he's trying to pack as much as he can into these final years? Do you think that's the strategy?
That's not the way it normally goes.
No.
You know? Seeing the end of your career usually means a downtick in performance, a downtick in a lot of these things, looking forward past driving at what you're going to be doing down the road. And I don't really see him slowing down.
I don't think Denny's spending a lot of time worried about retirement.
I don't think he is either.
Why should he? You know, he's incredible batting average.
Yeah.
And no, don't stop. Keep going till Mother Nature will tell you when you need to stop.
Yeah.
It'll tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, good night, nurse. But right now, it's not happening. And, you know, as far as him being busy, and I probably have said this before, it goes back to something my mom used to tell me all the time. If you want to get something done, you go find a busy person. Because busy people do things.
Sure.
People that are just sitting around with nothing to do, that's what they do.
The idle hands are the devil's work,
that's
right?
That's right. And
there you go.
For Denny, he's busy, and I just don't think that guy spends any time just staring at the clouds, worrying about what's going to happen. It's a great story this year. Brake rotors were a big story at Nashville. We'll try to make some sense out of that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This July, it's more than a race. It's a full-on, wide-open NASCAR weekend. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, takes over Echo Park Speedway July 11th and 12th. Engines roaring, lights blazing. It's high-speed action on the track and tailgates that turn into stories. All under the lights. Bring your crew, make memories. It's a summer night you won't forget. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Get tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save! We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three. Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
It seems like we're using a word to describe races that had disappeared out of our lexicon for a while, and that was attrition. Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte, eight cars, BTW, behind the wall or out when that race was over. Nashville says, hold my beer, they went 10 cars that were out of the race, three of them directly related to brake rotor failure. I'll get that right. But they had problems with their brakes, and it manifested it early on, and then there were several other incidents that happened. David, we saw at least three cars we know that were sidelined because of brake problems. A.J. Allmendinger, Ross Chastain, and Zelich all went out, same issue. Two of those on the same team.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Two of them Trackhouse drivers, and to me, it added a wrinkle to the race that I didn't think we were going to see. I thought we would have the typical Nashville stuff where we're three wide through the corners. But then as soon as Zilich hit the wall the first time, I said, what was going on there? And then they said the rotor exploded. And they had the video of it on Prime. And I was like, well, what do you do? And so then they start talking to the crew chiefs, and you figure out that you can run different brake packages on these cars, and you have to have air that comes over the rotor. And if it gets cooled down and then heated back up, all these different things can happen. And so it really wrecked what was a good run, I think, for A.J. Allmendinger towards the end of that race. And then we saw the same thing happen with Chris Buescher. We had a right front or a brake rotor or something fail on that car as well, and it produced a really good restart at the end, but it's just unfortunate for some of these teams that are trying to make up some points and get themselves in a better position that, the machines actually failed this time. It wasn't anything that the drivers did.
Not normal, but that's two races in a row, Charlotte and Nashville to some extent. We also had crashes that took out cars at the end of the race, and I'm not even including the crash that happened after the checkered flag. I'm not sure why that ever takes place, but it did there. Alexis, it shows, though, when we see cars that we don't normally see racing for the front. I'll take A.J. Allmendinger for example. I was real happy to see that they're taking chances.
Oh, yeah.
They're either aggressive with the tire setup, or they're playing in the brake department, or they're doing something to give themselves an advantage, betting against hope that it lasts the entire race.
I mean, well, when you have, clear-cut, seems like leaders in the clubhouse, if you will, like the Toyotas. You know, every week you come to the racetrack, they're going to be the ones to beat. They certainly seem to be maybe not leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, but they certainly have figured something else out that the other teams haven't. You've got to figure out how to separate yourself from the pack. And if that's running a different kind of brake rotor or however that, you know, whatever it is that, that you can change that's in your control, because there's so many things these days in racing that are not in your control, you try it and you see what happens. I mean, it's interesting to me, too, that Nashville seems to, you know, last night, obviously, you had Chris Buescher have a failure, get into the wall, ended up not being a fuel mileage race. But that race has turned out to be a fuel mileage race so many times, and I thought we might see that again last night. You had Zane Smith, who looked like he might, you know, come out with a really good finish, come out on top after having a strategy. You have to do things differently than what everybody else is doing to make a difference.
David, to reflect on what Alexis was saying about Zane Smith, I thought the move was brilliant. They might, under slightly different circumstances, have taken that race home. I don't want to say stolen, because if you figure out a way to beat other people, you're not stealing anything.
No, I mean, the strategy was spot on. Him and Blaney were kind of on the same deal, but Blaney was not able to save enough fuel. And if that would have stayed green, Zane Smith still would have finished in the top 10, I think. But he had almost a three quarters of a lap lead on Christopher Bell after that pit cycle. And what really did that team in, they ran out of rubber on the tires. You could see him trying to
slip
just
it inside.
Hold into the bottom, and it just wouldn't hold. And that car was, you know, squirrely all over the place. And so if he could have had a little bit more rubber on there and saved a little bit more of his tire instead of his fuel, he maybe could have held that lead against Christopher Bell towards the end of the race. But it was an interesting strategy, and I thought that it was a lot of fun just to see them trying something different versus just, okay, we're going to do what everybody else does and come down pit road on this lap and split the stage, and we'll just be mired back here in like 21st for the rest of this deal.
I didn't enjoy seeing the guys have failures, obviously, because those looked like really hard crashes, especially Zilich's. But I did like the fact that the cars were being pushed to the limit and that there was some attrition. I know you can't have everything all at the same time, but that should be part of this, is to make sure your cars can get to the end.
Yeah, I think it was Doug Turnbull, who was on our broadcast quite a bit. He sent out on Twitter last night and said, look, I don't like to see these cars, you know, get into the wall as hard as they are, but it is kind of nice to see that, you know, we're having this attrition come back, because it is an element of, you know, the races that we haven't seen in quite some time. And it adds an element of drama, and you never know how the strategy is going to work out. It gives people like Zane Smith the opportunity to potentially have an alternate strategy because of, you know, cautions coming out when they do and things like that. So, you know, obviously you don't want anybody to get hurt. You don't want million-dollar race cars to be rendered useless, but it does add to the drama of the race.
Well, and the other fact, I said this on Racers Odds on our show last week, because I was betting on overtime. I wanted some overtime. Like, give us some cautions.
Would that have helped you?
It would have helped me. Okay. I would have won a bet, but that's neither here nor there. Entering this race at Nashville Super Speedway, we had 83 cautions so far in the season. At this same point last year, we were at 90 plus. So we've had less cautions this year. We got 11 last night, so we may be matriculating back to where we should be average-wise, but we need a race like this every once in a while.
Yeah.
You need a few cautions. You need some restarts. Stack the field up. Get people a little bit antsy. Get their elbows up and wad some race cars up. I hate to see it, but it makes for a good product.
No, you're absolutely right. We've talked about it on this show. Where have all the cautions gone?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were having races with the only cautions being the stage brakes, or possibly just three. They found their way back.
Yeah.
At least they did at Nashville.
At
for
Nashville
sure.
And at Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The 600 had them. Michigan, where we're headed next, not usually a track that has a lot of cautions. It just doesn't. It doesn't. It's big and wide and not super high banked. And they could, I could see that race going by and having only the two manufacturer cautions.
I agree. And I'm not going to be betting on overtime this week
on the
show.
I think that's probably a safe bet. Who's going to make the chase that's not in it? We may investigate that next.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands, and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
NASCAR's crossed the halfway threshold for the regular season now. 14 races down, and then we'll race till the end of the chase and then run a 10-race chase championship. So the points we've talked about, we talk about points exhaustively because they are so important. And points that you win in February are just as important as ones you win in June and July. So they all add up the same. And right now, let's take a peek at this as far as people below the cut line. Alexis, I'm going to start with you. Right now, 16th in points, it's a very tenuous 16th points, is Austin Cindric. So go below Austin Cindric in the point standings and give me one driver and why you think that driver will possibly leapfrog Austin Cindric or somebody else and get into the chase.
Look, to be honest with you, when I look below 16th place, there isn't a whole lot, in my opinion, to be excited about. Yeah. I will say that I think sometimes past performance and, just a driver's veteran status need to be taken into consideration. And for that, I look at Joey Logano, who is in 18th. This is a three-time champion. Obviously, he's had a rough year. Ford, I think, is at a point right now where they need to step up their game holistically, and they're not doing that right at the moment. So it's going to be difficult, but I look at who's below 16th. I have to look at somebody who I know has the experience of being in a position like that and crawling their way back up and putting in the hard work and, just being a veteran and having been there before, having the experience. And I think that could potentially be Joey Logano. Plus, him and his wife took in two foster kids this past week, so I give him a hat tip for that.
That's nice. And next week, Alexis will be giving out her favorite herbal remedies. That's because you use the word
holistically.
Yeah. I love that. That's really good.
Well,
I like flashing a big vocab.
Look, I got to do it every once in a while.
You got to take that magnum cum laude degree out and wave it around every now.
Making us look bad. Yeah, if you're reading the dictionary.
Say, are you rubes? I got big words over here.
Well, I might have some big words, but you're a lyric Your use of lyrics is way superior to mine.
Yeah,
so.
But I do have
we all have our thing.
Yeah, I do have chronic lyricosis sometimes when you've heard lyrics for 20 years. Yeah. I still don't know all the lyrics to Woman in a Black Dress by the Hollies.
That's a hard one to get right.
Because it's heavy British accents, and I've looked it up, and I can't remember.
Thank goodness for Google.
Because every time I hear it, I forget the next time.
Yeah,
I hear
well, it's about they're what in the gin joint or something.
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
Yeah, and there's an FBI agent, and there's some tables knocked over, and people get shot.
And he's right. But he's actually undercover or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, undercover
that's exactly
for the FBI.
It. There you go. Yeah,
we are in the weeds, y'all.
What do you expect to happen?
It's all right. We're suffering from sleep deprivation.
There we go.
Back to back weekends.
No kidding.
So we were talking about Joey Logano is. Iffy.
He's iffy.
I think he's very iffy.
He's very iffy. They all are. Everyone below 16th, in my opinion, is very iffy. I'm picking Joey based off of the fact that he has 3 championships and is a veteran in this sport. That is why I'm picking Joey Logano.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the other forward that's directly above him with Ryan Preece. If there's anyone that can make it out, I think RFK has shown that all 3 of their cars work well together, and I think that they can move up the standings together. Ryan Preece has just had an atrocious 3-week stretch where he wrecks Ty Gibbs at Texas, gets penalized because he went on the radio and was like, if he comes back in front of me, I'm going to put him in the wall. And they pretty much said, yeah, you're guilty. They appealed it. Nothing happened. He ended up losing 25 points, crashed out at the Coca-Cola 600, finished in the 30s, had the same thing happen here at Nashville with another bad finish. They're running out of mulligans, Doug and Alexis. There's not many more hits that you can take at this point in the season and expect to continue to climb back into the top 16, and he's only one position out, and it's I'm grasping at straws now going, how many more shots do you have to have? And he started off the year so well, winning the Clash, and it's like, maybe he's got some momentum, maybe we'll see Ryan Preece get a points paying Cup Series win this year, and now I've got some question marks. So, but if there's someone that can do it, I don't see anyone besides those two outside of the top six, you know, the bottom part of this chase cutoff that's outside the top 16 that can come back in. It's either Logano or Preece at this point.
I find it really hard to believe that Ross Chastain is 26.
I know.
And it's not like in the past where, he's 26 in points, but he could go win at Michigan and put him in the playoffs. No.
That's over.
I
don't work that way anymore.
No. That and the fact they don't bring fast cars to the racetrack. He's always starting in the back, and that's part of the problem. When you start back there, bad things happen.
It's really hard to dig yourself out.
And who would have thought, if you would have asked us this a couple of years ago, who's going to be the best driver at Trackhouse 14 races into the season? You're thinking, it'd probably be Ross Chastain. Yeah. No, it's Shane Van Gisbergen for Trackhouse. He's sitting 12th in points, had 2 good finishes on ovals.
Back to back.
And I think he's classing the other two cars that are his teammates. And I know Zilich is a good race car driver. He's just unproven at this point, and he's making rookie mistakes, and that's going to happen. But that one team has been bad for a number of weeks now, and they just can't seem to get out of their own way.
I'd like Ross to be better. He's a friend of the networks. He comes on PRN and does great job in the booth for the NASCAR O'Reilly Series races, but I don't know that it's going to turn around. There's nothing I see that says magically they're going to show up. I had a chance to talk with Justin Marks last week, and he said it's to the point now that Zilich and Ross's people are going over to SVG and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way.
And not on the road course.
No.
Yeah. On the oval.
No, on the oval. Yeah. What are you guys doing? And that just seems weird to me, and they've got some problems there. SVG may be their one knight in shining armor. I'm like you, David. I'm totally stunned. I thought, he'll win some road course races. He shows up consistently. If he can keep this trend doing, I don't know 2 races is a trend, Alexis, but it's not a bad indicator.
Yeah, I mean, he is certainly picking up momentum when it comes to the ovals. You look at what he did at Charlotte, you look at what he did at Nashville, and you say, okay, he's starting to figure out these ovals. And I think if that continues, if that trend continues, you know, he could be somebody that could be a real threat, especially because of how good he is on road courses. I mean, he, you know, hands down, you go into a road course, you expect him to finish one or two, you know, unless there's some kind of mechanical failure or something of that nature. But, having him also start to get better on these ovals is only just going to make the competition fear him even more.
And both of these finishes weren't flip-flop finishes where he used strategy to just get into the top 10 at the end of the race. He ran in the top 10, top 15 all night, both races, back-to-back weeks. And the other point I want to make, he's ran this type of car before. He has 8 championships in supercar. If he's starting to figure it out, he might be dangerous as we get further into this season because he knows this car and knows
Australian
how to drive
it. Supercar is a lot more like this current stock car than anything else. I didn't know. I thought SVG might be a one-trick pony. I think they've learned a second trick.
Yeah.
And that makes them dangerous. That's what everybody feared. If this guy gets to be competitive on the ovals, watch out. It seems to be the case. Not ready to christen him yet, but getting a little bit closer to coronation. We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Shane Van Gisbergen for the final time up here in turn number 2. He brought a gun to a knife fight today. Then we got Noah Gregson around right in the middle of the pack. And he got hammered by Ryan Preece. Brad Keselowski's off into the dirt as well.
The Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, Sunday, June 28th. Tickets at SonomaRaceway.com.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. But if you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
I know we videotape these shows and play snippets of them back. I wish you could get the show behind the show. It's much more entertaining. You can say that about anything. I did want to touch on one thing before we get to green flag, black flag, and that's we finally got an announcement, Alexis, that Corey Heim has found a home in the Cup Series for next year after having a sensational season in trucks last year and winning a championship. Looks like he's finally going to get a promotion.
Yeah, going to 23-11. I mean, not a big surprise. Obviously, Toyota, development driver there. And he's going to be taking over for Riley Herbst. So it'll be interesting to see how Corey Heim can, handle the Cup Series. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it, when you talk about Connor Zilich, everybody named him the hot shoe coming in and he was going to win everything under the sun. And, he's struggling a bit. It's what happens when rookies come into the Cup Series. They realize how extremely hard it is. And I think he will probably come to that realization too, but I think he's going to be, somebody to look at in the future for sure.
I mean, former Truck Series champion,
right?
Set the world on fire with wins last year. The big thing about this, travesty, he didn't have a full-time cup, or a full-time truck ride this year to kind of continue off of that. You know, just wish that he would be running full-time in that series. He's in the point standings. It's just he's not in there every Friday.
He's not eligible for it.
But he's not eligible. But I'm glad that he's getting this opportunity with 2311. I think it'll be good for him. He'll have some learning to do, just like any rookie will. And hopefully he can rise to the occasion and continue to elevate that stable that they have over there.
And I'll use a very oft-used word. There's a couple of cup races he's been in that he's flashed.
Yes.
That he's run in the top five, that he has been a contender, that he looks very comfortable there. But I will pump the brakes. Alexis referred to it a moment ago. Connor Zilich came in with all the hype I've ever seen a rookie come in. It has been a struggle for Connor Zilich. That's to put it lightly. And I'm not forecasting the same for Heim. I do think he has one advantage, and this is just my thoughts. I think this race team of 2311 is better equipped to tackle a season with three cars than Trackhouse is.
I'll agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment.
I just think that's where we are in the development of this, so that gives Corey a leg up on it. He's probably going to be the only rookie running, unless we have some more swapping around. There aren't a lot of seats left at the table.
No, there are not.
Because so many drivers have re-upped or announced where there's going, there's not going to be a big drop-off. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens with Alex Bowman in the 48. That's a big opportunity. I will say this. Whatever is going to happen there has already been decided.
Probably.
Yes.
It's been done.
We just don't know about it yet.
We just don't know about it. We don't need to know about it, but that's already been decided. That die has already been cast. I would wager anything on that. These things don't get done at the last minute. This has been done way far out. We'll find out. That's an interesting story. Can we do a little green flag, black flag?
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Yes, we can. Yet another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag. Our panel could do this show in their sleep. They've done it so many times.
I think some of us are asleep.
I think we have done that before, haven't we? But anyway, I'm going to read some carefully prepared statements by people who really know how to write. And our panel will mull those over. If they agree with the statement, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. And let's dive right in with the rookie.
Oh, man.
David Stiles. David, night races should only be allowed on Saturday nights.
Green flag. Green flag, green flag, green flag, green flag. How many green flags can I give it? Yes, Saturday night racing is a plus. I want everything on Sunday to go off at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, let's go to Alexis Erickson.
Look, as a fellow parent of a young child, I know David Stiles has two very young children. I concur. The only exception I will make to that rule is if Monday happens to be a holiday. Okay, uh-huh. Like, you have the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday. Okay, fine. I'm getting Monday off. That's fine. But I have got to have off the next day because Mama is tired, let me tell you.
Doug Rice.
Alexis made a great point there. The Coke 600, leave that alone. Everything else goes to Saturday. The big point for me on that is, as a race fan, I buy my ticket and I go and watch the race on Saturday night. I've got Sunday to get back home.
Sure.
If I was at Nashville Super Speedway this past Sunday, which they sold out, congrats, nice job, I had to get home Sunday night, and with the late race, I was crawling into bed about the time it was time to get up, so... Absolutely agree with that.
All right, let's go to Alexis Erickson for
this. Wait, we didn't get the cat meow or whatever it is.
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
I don't have it.
Can't do that?
Wow.
No.
Oh, there you go.
David described
nice
that.
Nice ad lib,
I did
David.
Not get access to that. Here we go. Let's go to Alexis Erickson on this. Shane Van Gisbergen gets his oval victory this season.
Oh, wow. We talked about Shane. I think he is definitely getting better on the ovals. I think we're only going to see him continue to improve. I do not know that he crosses the threshold into the winner's circle on an oval this season. I think he will eventually. Not sure it's happening in 2026. So I'm going to give it a black flag.
All righty, Doug Rice.
Black flag. I'll echo what Alexis says. He's going to be better He's knocked down some top tens, maybe a top five. I don't think he's ready to wind up in the winner's circle, but if it happened, I wouldn't be shocked like I would have been last year.
All right, I guess I'll be the contrarian. I'll give it a green flag.
Oh, look at you go.
I think he's on the trajectory up, and like we said in the previous segment, he's ran this type of car before. If he starts really figuring it out, I think the rest of the field may be in trouble.
All right. Doug Rice, by the end of the year, Spire will have either the same number or more wins than Hendrick Motorsports.
It's funny, Spire is the only other team besides Joe Gibbs that has multiple driver wins, meaning more than one of their drivers won. Gibbs has a pair of drivers that have won. Spire, Suarez, and Hosovar have both won this year. What was the question again? I got lost.
Okay, by the end of the year, Spire will have either the same number or more wins than Hendrick.
They have the same right
they
now.
They have the same right now.
Yeah.
Two apiece. I'm going to green flag that just because. I could see Hosovar winning again, and who knows, maybe Daniel gets lucky. Maybe Michael McDowell finds his way to a victory.
All right, David Stiles.
I'm going to give it a green flag as well. I think Michael McDowell's pretty solid on the road courses. I think Spire's punching above their weight. And Hendrick, they've been kind of out to lunch lately. I mean, William Byron, rash of good finishes, bad finishes. Kyle Larson running up front, leading laps, not winning races. And then Chase Elliott just Mr. Consistent with two wins. I could see Hosovar getting another win. I could see McDowell getting a win. So I think it's a green flag for sure.
Four out of the last seven races, I think we added it up. William Byron has finished 30th or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to go green flag, but I'm going to go for maybe a different reason. I think it's because we're probably not going to see that many more wins out of Hendrick this year, because we talk about how much they have been struggling. Chase Elliott does have those two wins, but it's like hit or miss with him. It's either he's winning or he's, crashing on the last lap. I think we could potentially see Spire with even more.
And Kyle Larson has no mojo right now.
None.
Mm-hmm. He's got a fast car a lot of times, but whatever the magic was that surrounded him.
Third longest winless streak of his career.
Yeah.
It's the longest he's been in a Hendrick car without getting a win.
It's over a year now.
Yeah.
We're out of music, but we got more.
Okay.
Denny Hamlin will win five races this year. Hamlin.
Ooh, is it me? Who is it?
It's Doug. I'm sorry. It's David.
David. More than five. He's at two, so three more. That's
it
doable.
Says he will win five.
He will win five. Green flag, yes.
All right. What do you think, Alexis?
So what if he won six?
Well, then he would have won five.
Yeah.
But is it five?
There's no skipping.
Is it only five?
It says
is it five?
Denny Hamlin.
Is it the closest without going over?
The right
says
Denny
Price
Hamlin.
Is right?
I don't know.
Price is right rules?
We'll
what's
win
going
five
on here?
Races.
Oh, yeah, if you go over, you bust, right?
Right.
Actually, you don't win the Toyota.
All I hear is the little man going up the mountain right now.
Sure. Green flag. Five.
All righty. Is that everybody, Doug?
I've watched way too much Price is Right since I've retired. I feel like me and Drew Carey are kindred spirits now.
Are you automatically into?
Make sure you spayed and neuter your animals and take care of your mental health.
You have to stay there for Let's Make a Deal.
How close are you on being able to name the price of everything at this point?
A lot of the cars, I'm within $1,000 because they're all, none of them are tricked out.
No, base model vehicles.
Do you realize if you win a car on the Price is Right, you cannot turn it back in for cash value?
They don't let you do that anymore?
They do not do that. If you win on the Price is Right, you got to take that trampoline home.
It's going right up on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
We did not order the giant trampoline.
I see people get on there and a gym set. And there's some 75-year-old lady going.
Yeah.
That's right.
Great.
$1. Yeah. Where do we put that?
She's like, I don't want that. Get away from me.
I live in a home. I don't need that. Denny wins five races.
All right.
Maybe more.
I'm sorry. I forgot what we were talking about. All right. That's green flag, black flag. Doug Rice, what's happening?
Oh, one last thing.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Fast Talk here on PRN. Doug Rice with Alexis Erickson and David Stiles. And exciting race at Nashville Super Speedway. Great finish. Great win for Denny Hamlin. Second win of the year, as we documented. And it looks like can't wait to get to the chase, but don't want to rush through those races, Alexis. That's not good. That's not healthy to just wish away.
No.
11 weeks.
No, certainly not. And this is actually getting into what my one last thing was going to be about, which is this summer stretch is usually the most grueling part of the season. It's when we see teams that were doing really good start to struggle, see teams that were struggling maybe turn things around a little bit. Will we see a difference in the narrative that we talk about on this show weekly as we start to get into this stretch of summer races? It's going to be very interesting to watch. No, I do not want to wish them away, certainly. There's a lot of racing to be had. There's a lot of wins to see, and I'm excited. There's a lot of really exciting things too. I mean, we got San Diego coming up soon. You know, that I think is going to be very cool.
I want that to be a home run.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm cheering for that race to be a hit.
I want it to just be extremely competitive. I want to see a couple of guys duking it out there at the end. I know it's going to be Van Gisbergen and somebody. Give me somebody. I mean,
Zilich. Potentially.
I mean, Alex Bowman was good on the street course in Chicago. He might be pretty solid. McDowell is good at places like this.
Ty Gibbs is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I not that I don't want SVG to win, don't care, but I would love to see somebody push them.
Agreed. Christopher Bell would be, you know, we talked about him earlier in the show. Be good for him to get a W in that win column.
Tyler Reddick.
And I want, for whatever reason, I want this to be a hit. I want NASCAR and the fans and the competitors to step back from this and go, we ran on a Navy base and it was a home run. And if it's a big, big hit, don't go back.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but
I don't think they're planning to.
No,
I mean,
I think this is a
250th anniversary.
Agreed.
And I think there's going to be lots of great imagery and Prime will do it well. I think it's going to be Prime's last race, right. I believe. I think we're going to really enjoy it, but I don't think it's something we'll probably see twice. So I hope the first time we see it is great.
Well, and the other side of this, too, is they're opening that up to service members only to be in the grandstands. And that, to me, that's just a really cool thing.
I think for the truck race.
For the truck race.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really cool thing for us to partner with the military like that. And at this, you know, Coronado Naval Base, it's just a really interesting thing.
It's been a fun season up to this point. I really like it. I like the fact that we've had some international flavor. We've got Shane Van Gisbergen racing well. Daniel Suarez now feels legitimate. Catherine Legg came over from Britain and gave us a nice storyline. I like that. I know there are some people that are kind of exposed to that expansion, but if we want that sport, the sport to grow, it's going to have to find a way outside of the United States boundaries. All right, we're going to Michigan, Alexis. You got anybody you like?
Denny Hamlin.
Why not?
Give me Tyler Reddick.
Wow. I think this guy gets his second win of the year. I like Carson Hocevar.
Oh, wow.
I like that, too.
I like the Hurricane. Give me some of that. Meanwhile, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.